Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Mark LaBelle
and Justin Smolian
from Dirty Honey, and you're listening to the Blog of Rock podcast.
Hallo Leute, ich freue mich, dass ihr heute noch einmal eingeschaltet habt, denn diese Episode markiert nach 12 Folgen in 12 Wochen das Ende meines langen American Roadtrip. In über 3000 Meilen bin ich mit euch quer durch die USA gereist und habe über 10 Staatsgrenzen passiert. Aber nochmal auf Anfang. Alle Stammgäste meines Podcasts kennen ja bereits die Geschichte hinter dieser Staffel. Für alle anderen hier nochmal in Kürze. Animiert von einem Gläschen meines Lieblingsbourbon Maker's Mark kam ich auf den Geschmack, gemeinsam mit euch einen virtuellen Trip quer durch die USA zu machen, um nach den Wurzeln meiner musikalischen Helden zu buddeln. Wer jetzt das erste Mal am Start ist und die Story hinter dieser Reise verpasst hat, der sollte sich noch einmal schnell die dazugehörige Episode mit einem Trailer etwas weiter unten anhören, vor allem, welche Rolle hier eine Flasche aus Kentucky spielt, die mich mit einem milden, süßlichen Inhalt bei 45 Umdrehungen zu diesen handgemachten Geschichten inspiriert hat. Wir sind vor 3 Monaten in Chicago gestartet und waren zunächst bei Cheap Trick in Rockford, Illinois zu Gast. Danach ging es über weite Teile der alten Route 66 nach St. Louis, Missouri, wo uns die Allman Bats Band jede Menge Südstaaten-Feeling für den weiteren Weg in den Rucksack gepackt hat. Anschließend besuchten wir die Bourbon Distille in Loretto, Kentucky und durften viel über die Herstellung von Maker's Mark erfahren. Nur wenige Meilen weiter hat uns John Fred Young vom Blackstone Sherry verraten, dass er von einem Stadionbesuch eines Fußball-Bundesligaspiels träumt. Von dort aus machten wir einen längeren Stopover in der aktuell sicherlich wichtigsten Musikstadt der USA, Nashville, Tennessee. Hier haben wir zunächst die beiden Schwestern von Larkin Poe getroffen, danach den König des Modern Blues, Joe Bonamassa, der uns auf eine Tasse Royalty in sein Studio einlud. In Louisiana hört man die bewegende Geschichte des blinden Zimmermanns Robert Finlay, der aktuell als The Biggest Living Soul Singer gefeiert wird und gemeinsam mit uns eine bluesige Zeitreise 60 Jahre zurück unternahm, zurück auf die Baumwollfelder in seiner Kindheit. Danach ging es an den Colorado River nach Austin, wo wir mit Jürgen Engler von den Krupps einen Trip durch die texanische Metropole unternahmen und ein wenig über den Tod sprachen. Seit 2 Wochen hängen wir in L.A. ab. Zunächst mit Doc Aldrich von den Dead Daisies und haben mit ihm ganz entspannt über seine Familie als Holy Ground und die Renovierung seines Hauses gequatscht. Und in der letzten Woche gab es großes Tennis mit Josh Trott von Buckcherry, einer waschechten Rock'n'Roll-Rampensau, der aber auch gerne Yoga und Meditation macht. Und jetzt das große Finale des American Road Trip. Wie sieht der California Dream anno 2021 aus? Steigt nochmal ein in meinen roten Mustang. Kalifornien ist ja der Staat der ganz großen Träume. Dort, wo besonders viel Milch und Honig fließt. Und einen ganz besonderen Bienensaft präsentieren uns Dirty Honey, die vielleicht aktuell heißeste Band der USA, die gar keinen Plattenvertrag hat und trotzdem Millionen Videoaufrufe und Streams aufweist. Ich habe die Jungs vor gut einem Jahr entdeckt und sauge seitdem jeden Soundschnipsel auf. Vor wenigen Wochen erschien nach einer großartigen EP und ein paar Singles ihr sensationelles Debütalbum, welches allen Freunden des bluesgetränkten Hardrocks mit massiven 70s-Vibes gefallen muss. Also definitiv was für Leute, die auf Black Crowes, Rival Sons oder den Dead Daisies stehen. Im Mittelpunkt steht Ausnahmesänger Mark LaBelle, der mit seiner Stimme gerne mal die ganze Prominenz unter den Tisch singt. Ich verlinke euch mal in den Shownotes, das ist die Beschreibung zur Episode, über die ihr den Podcast hört, ein Video von der NAMM aus 2020, der größten Musikmesse der USA. Hier covert ein All-Star-Lineup unter anderem mit Slash, Billy Gibbons, Lizzie Hale und Robin Zander den Led Zeppelin-Klassiker Whole Lotta Love. Nach 2 Minuten übernimmt der Dirty Honey-Frontmann den Gesang und ballert einfach alles von der Bühne. Ein Organ, bei dem selbst Robert Plant in seinen besten Jahren kaum mithalten kann und die Jungs von Greta Van Fleet wieder zur Schülerband degradiert. Für mich ist Mark LaBelle das, was Erling Haaland im Fußball ist, the next big superstar. Dirty Honey waren gerade auf kurzer US-Tour und packen, während diese Episode läuft, ihre Koffer für eine mehrmonatige Nordamerika-Rutsche mit den Black Crowes, mit denen sie sich auch das Management teilen. Daher war ich froh, dass ich den Kontakt bekam und Mark wie auch Bassist Justin Smolian an die Geräte holte. Kleine Anekdote noch, zum vereinbarten Zeitpunkt schaltete sich zunächst der Bassmann ein, eine Minute später der Sänger, der aber noch mit Helm und offenem Visier auf seinem Motorrad saß, einer BMW übrigens. Er steckte noch im Stau und war ein paar Minuten später aber ganz Ohr in seiner Garage, um sich vorzustellen.
I'm Justin Smolian, I play bass for Dirty Honey. I'm from Los Angeles, California and lived here all my life. The rest of these guys are from around the country, but we all live here now. Yeah, I love rock and roll. What about you, Mark?
Yeah, I'm Mark Labelle. I'm obviously the singer of Dirty Honey, and I am from a little town in upstate New York, but live in Los Angeles now and got caught up with these other three hooligans that also appreciate rock and roll and live music and loud, very high singing vocalists, apparently.
Wie wir ja schon gesehen haben, bist du, Mark, ein Motorradfan.
I do, yeah. And the Germans will appreciate I was riding a BMW today, so.
Und du bist sehr modisch orientiert. Man sieht dich on stage meist mit deinem Hut als Markenzeichen.
But yeah, I'm definitely the hat guy, the John Varvatos jacket guy. Justin likes to mix it up a little more than I do. But, you know, I'm having a lot of trouble right now finding some good pants for this upcoming tour. It's the women get all the cool options. Men are kind of...
You got to look in the women's section, dude. You just got those, you got those big man, like hockey thighs, so you can't wear women's pants, huh?
I don't have big thighs. I'm just, everybody's like, this guy never skipped leg day. They're very defined. Justin's got little chicken legs. So
I get to wear all the cool pants.
But he doesn't. He doesn't have any cool pants. That's the problem.
I got cool pants, dude. I got those velvet ones, those purple velvets. Those I found at a women's store.
Und wie sieht's bei dir aus, Justin?
Hobbies. What do I like to do? I like to play chess. I like to smoke weed. I don't know. I like to play guitar mostly.
Vor einigen Wochen erschien euer Debütalbum mit 8 Hammer-Tracks. Wie und wo habt ihr dies in diesen Zeiten aufgenommen?
It came together just, you know, we always are kind of writing and, you know, you always have a bunch of ideas floating around. It's really a matter of honing in and focusing on the ones that ultimately will become good songs, not just songs, but really good ones. I think if somebody's got like a start to something and everybody kind of is like, it's just okay, it doesn't really turn into a song for the sake of practicing songwriting. You know, we hear a lot of bands will write 30, 40, 50 songs for a record, and then you hear the record and one of the songs is good. And that's not really how we go about it. If something gets to the finish line, we've kind of all, it's gone through all the necessary levels of band members, you know, putting their own little spin on it and making it Dirty Honey. So yeah, it started like, I don't know, maybe last.
I mean, it started kind of on the road, a lot of the ideas, like at sound checks, like John play a riff or whatever. So we had like a lot of starts up there, but we also, because of COVID, like we were supposed to make the record last year in March in Australia, and obviously we couldn't do that. So it actually, we didn't end up making the record till late October. So we ended up renting a rehearsal space and really like workshopping a lot of the ideas for a couple of months before we went into the studio. So we were really well prepared this time to go into the studio. We knocked it out in 6 days.
Habt ihr das Album alleine produziert?
No, our producer, Nick Dedia, who produced our first EP, was in Australia. So we had him produce it from abroad, actually. And it was a very scary circumstance to make a record with your producer being, you know, 5,000 miles away. But the technology made it really easy and pretty seamless. And the workflow wasn't, you know, paralyzed or anything at all. It was awesome. So we don't want to do that again, I don't think, but he was nice enough to book us in a world-class studio and made sure the technology worked. And I think, you know, that the product speaks for itself, really.
Und trotz der fehlenden Unterstützung eines Majors sind Dirty Honey zu einem der heißesten Act der USA gemausert. Mit Dirt Records hat die Band ihr eigenes Label gegründet und sämtliche Releases werden hier koordiniert. Ihr seid also auch ein Stück Unternehmer.
We like it that way. We say all the time, we've never met an artist on the road that absolutely loves their label. Just doesn't happen too often or ever. I don't know if I've ever heard somebody say, you have to talk to our label, you know?
Yeah. We're all such control freaks. It's almost hard to imagine having a bunch of other cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah. No. And honestly, I play hockey with a lot of label people and some pretty high up people. And I remember an anecdote. This one guy was telling me one day he worked at, I think it was Geffen or Epic Records. I forget the bigger company, which Interscope is what it was. And he was saying, you wouldn't believe the just shit presentations I get about what our A&R people want to sign and the reasoning behind it. The reasoning is all because of this person has 10 million YouTube video hits or something, and they have absolutely nothing to do with the development of the artist. They're just grabbing at whatever is having some sort of traction on the internet. And he's like, he was kind of just holding on for dear life for his job because the writing is on the wall that people aren't doing the work anymore to develop acts, you know?
And I think that's been something that's really helped us is like, we have a really strong live show. Probably a lot of these people that maybe have a lot of YouTube followers don't necessarily have. So when we go out on the road and play, I think that's helped drive kind of the idea of Dirty Honey, because people come and see our show and like the reviews, like people love the show too. So I think that's a big part of what's helped push us forward.
Somit habt ihr ja auch die komplette Kontrolle über eure Musik und das Timing der VÖs und müsst nicht darauf warten, bis ihr in das Release-Schedule einer Plattenfirma passt.
Yeah, we were just on the road with this band Joyous Wolf. They were opening up for us, but they were complaining to us about how they've got this record they're really proud of and they can't get one guy at their label to give it the green light to go ahead with it. That would drive me insane if it was like one person saying, I don't know, right?
Yeah, I remember that being made me like raise an eyebrow when they said, yeah, we have a single. We don't know if it's going to get released or not yet. And I was like, how is that even? It's not a single then. You know what I mean? Like, how is that anything? You definitely have to have a single and know what that's going to be and a plan and to have to deal with that red tape of a label making those decisions. I could not do it.
Ich gehe aber davon aus, dass ihr euer Business nicht komplett alleine macht. Dieses Interview wurde ja auch von einer professionellen PR-Company arrangiert. Da gibt's doch sicherlich noch ein paar andere Leute im Background, oder?
Yeah, and you know, we have collaborators too with our management team and our booking agent and our radio promotion, you know, people, which are all very, very small. It's only a couple people, but you know, we bounce ideas off of them and they're obviously all very good at what they do and we trust and respect them. But, you know, to Justin's point, it's just there's fewer cooks in the kitchen to hold things up. You know, when we say go, we're going at 100 miles an hour and or 130 kilometers an hour
on your BMW.
And I think the biggest bonus of doing it yourself is having a better understanding of the business and where your money goes. And just there's a lot of horror stories out there, obviously, and we're trying to avoid writing our own. So
erstklassig sind ja auch eure Videos. Euer aktueller Clip, California Dreaming, Link dazu übrigens in den Shownotes, ist wie ein kleines Roadmovie gemacht und zeigt dich, Mark, mit einem roten Mustang. Ähnlich wie meiner in diesem Trip. Der Clip hat ja bereits 1 Million Aufrufe auf YouTube.
You know, again, we sort of look to the great collaborator of ours and our director, you know, to help execute, you know, the visual elements of our music. And he does a great job with that. And you know, we did this sort of dream sequence through California for that video that cinematically came out really great and we're very proud of it, obviously. But yeah, we're going to be collaborating with Scott, the director, again in a few weeks here. So.
Eure Heimat LA war in den 80ern das Mekka des Rock'n'Roll. Aber wie sieht der California Dream in 2021 aus?
Man, I feel like there's going to be a lot more people wanting to move to LA now that this is all over and start living their dreams or trying to live their dreams and maybe failing. Just kind of partially about what the song's about. Not everybody, it doesn't always work out when people move out here, even though it has in some of our cases.
Yeah, and honestly, the California dream is very dark right now. I think people are leaving California in droves and, you know, a lot of the entertainment industry is leaving California for, you know, tax reasons and stuff like that, rebate reasons, you know, everything is shooting in a lot of movies and TV shows are shooting in Vancouver, Atlanta, New Orleans, Toronto and Montreal, not in LA so much, but yeah, it's, and honestly, Justin just moved out of Hollywood, actually, which was like a absolute mess for the last year and a half. Just homeless have taken it over.
Yeah.
Incredibly dirty and disgusting.
It was pretty gross. I had to get out of there.
It was gross. It was gross.
I lived like a mile from where all the riots happened last summer too. So like that was all like right about around my apartment. It was crazy. Last year was crazy, dude. I don't know how things were in Germany.
Und wie steht's aktuell mit der Musikszene? Gibt es noch andere junge Bands auf dem Sunset Strip, die es packen könnten?
No, I mean, LA is not what a lot of people, or at least Hollywood, like the Sunset Strip, it's not what a lot of people imagine that it is when they move here. Like, they still think it's going to be like the 70s and 80s. And, you know, like a lot of those clubs are gone. All those clubs are pay to play now, where you actually pay the club to play there instead of you getting paid. And yeah, it's a lot of people trying to relive something that happened before, as opposed to try, like, it's not a new scene.
There was a little music scene happening with, like, we call them hipster bands, kind of like,
yeah,
bands that really didn't play the blues. They kind of played more of this like pop rock with kind of a depressive like element to it, with some keyboards and stuff, and nobody was like a really amazing blues singer or whatever. It wasn't rock and roll at all. It was kind of like guys in suspenders and like funny shoes playing, you know, like an old Jaguar.
It's like guys that like the Black Keys, basically.
Yeah, but the Black Keys,
Black Keys are cool.
Yeah. I like the Black Keys, but
yeah,
they,
so do I.
More bands like Vampire Weekend and maybe like Imagine Dragons or something like that. And it was happening for a minute. Maybe there was like a 5-year period there where everybody was kind of chasing that sound, and then it just kind of went away. It wasn't coming from a place of authenticity, I don't think. And that's one thing with us, like everybody in the band loves rock and roll and honestly lives it, you know, to the fullest in everybody's own sort of way. And everybody's a really talented musician. So to his point earlier, when you bring all that to the stage, to people that are used to listening to guys that really can't play all that well, it's a really different thing. And a lot of people haven't seen it in their lifetime. We didn't, our generation didn't have we never had a scene. We never went through a grunge scene. We never went through the 70s or 80s rock scene. We never had one. So it's coming, I feel like. And I think this, you know, our generation and even younger are getting exposed to that for the first time, which is cool.
Vor allem live sind Dirty Honey eine Macht, wie man auf diversen Videos auf YouTube sehen kann. Ich verlinke euch mal eine Show aus dem legendären Viper Room aus Los Angeles in den Shownotes. Ihr kommt gerade von einer eigenen Tour zurück und geht direkt mit dem Black Crowes auf fette Nordamerika-Tour. Wie kam das zustande?
Well, we share a manager. and the Crowes were looking for like an up-and-coming young rock band. They were pretty specific about wanting that, right, LaBelle?
Yeah, Chris, before the pandemic, I flew out to New York to go see the Crowes reunion show at the Bowery in New York. And I remember we originally were only going to do like 10 shows with them. They were going to have a bunch of young bands open up, for like 4 bands open up. And Chris was like, I want to feature, to his credit, he wants to feature like the next generation of rock. And whether that's Dirty Honey and 3 other bands or whatever, I want to do that. And, you know, we need younger rock bands to carry the flag or carry the torch, so to speak, to keep this flame alive. And, you know, as time wore on, it became increasingly hard to find bands. And finally our manager was like, let's just do this, man. Like these guys they're just put a record out. Dirty Honey just put a record out and you guys are going on the road. Let's just do the whole tour with them. And I'm sure, with
COVID precautions, like staying with like one band the whole time.
Yeah, it makes it easy. It makes it way easier. And, you know, we're certainly happy to do it. We can't wait.
Yeah. We're playing like some venues I've only dreamed of playing. Like we're playing the Forum in LA. Like I saw Black Sabbath there and I saw Prince there. And we're playing Red Rocks. It's going to be some awesome shows, man.
Was mir neben der Musik bei euch gut gefällt, ist ein sehr starkes Branding. Euer Lippenlogo hat einfach alles, um auf viele T-Shirts gedruckt zu werden. Wer kam mit dieser Idee?
It was this designer out of New York named Aaron, who does a lot of our stuff. And our manager wanted to do something with a B for the main logo, and he came back with this lips thing, and everybody except for our manager was immediately like, that
is our logo.
That will stand the test of time. In the same way the Aerosmith lit wings or the Stones tongue or AC/DC's lightning bolt, like that is an iconic thing right off the bat. And he really did a great job.
Kind of everything he's done, I've been super impressed with. He did a really cool art for Gypsy, which I love. And he's done a couple of our tour posters. He's a good dude. He gets it too. Like we sent him the music and like, he was like, well, I listened to the music and then the lips is what came out. Like that's what he imagined. So like,
yeah,
so
cool.
Ich gehe mal davon aus, dass ihr jetzt auch neugierig seid, wie sich diese Jungs anhören. Daher klickt doch mal auf meine Playlist des American Road Trip. Das Ganze gibt es auf Spotify. Ihr findet den Link dazu in den Shownotes. Ja, das war's dann auch mit dem American Road Trip und ich hoffe, es hat euch gefallen. Der Blog of Rock Podcast macht nun eine kleine Sommerpause, in der ich für euch die nächste Staffel produziere. Wir bleiben diesmal in Deutschland und beamen uns 40 Jahre zurück in die 80er, als die deutsche Heavy-Metal-Szene vor meinen eigenen Augen explodiert. Zum Start der Teutonic Revolution. Freut euch auf jede Menge Gespräche mit Musikern wie Doro, Halloween, Accept, Blind Guardian, Udo Dirkschneider und viel mehr, sowie mit den Machern dahinter. Daher abonniert diesen Podcast, damit ihr den Start nicht verpasst. Bis bald, ich zähle auf euch. Keep on rocking!